From Malta, today is the 30th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is so good to be here with you today. Grateful. I'm grateful every day, but I'm really trying to press into being grateful in our 20th year, every single day, thanking the Lord for all that He has done inside this community over all of these years in ways that I could never have imagined or deserved. I am grateful. I can't believe it. I am grateful to be here with you today as we gather yet again to take another step forward on this grand journey that is the Bible here around the global campfire in our very beautiful, very safe community. So we moved through the book of Philemon yesterday in the New Testament, and we began the book of Lamentations. We'll continue Lamentations today, but we'll also be beginning a new book, very important book in the New Testament, a letter, a long one, called Hebrews. And we will get there shortly, but first, Lamentations, chapter 3. I am one who has seen affliction under the rod of God's wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Against me alone He turns His hand again and again all day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me sit in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has put heavy chains on me. Though I call and cry for help, He shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stones. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He led me off my way and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent His bow and set me as a mark for His arrow. He shot into my vitals the arrows of His quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all my people, the object of their taunt songs all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel. He has made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is, so I say, gone is my glory and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope. To give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. for the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. When all the prisoners of the land are crushed underfoot, when justice is perverted in the presence of the Most High, when one's case is subverted, does the Lord not see it? Who can command and have it done if the Lord has not ordained it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that evil and good come? Why should any who draw breath complain about the punishment of their sins? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts as well as our hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. You have wrapped yourself with anger and pursued us, killing without pity. You have wrapped yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through. You have made us filth and rubbish among the peoples. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Panic and pitfall have come upon us. Devastation and destruction. My eyes flow with rivers of tears because of the destruction of my people. My eyes will flow without ceasing, without respite, until the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes cause me grief at the fate of all the young women in my city. Those who were my enemies without cause have hunted me like a bird. They flung me alive into a pit and hurled stones on me. Water closed over my head. I said, "I am lost." I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help, but give me relief. You came near when I called on you. You said, "Do not fear." You have taken up my cause, O Lord. You have redeemed my life. You have seen the wrong done to me, O Lord. Judge my cause. You have seen all their malice, all their plots against me. You have heard their taunts, O Lord, all their plots against me. The whispers and murmurs of my assailants are against me all day long, whether they sit or rise. See, I am the object of their taunt songs. Pay them back for their deeds, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them anguish of heart. Your curse be on them. Pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the Lord's heavens. Okay, so we're moving through a lot of transitions and into new books, and so today is one of those days, and we're moving into an important book, like I said at the beginning, the book of Hebrews, which is a letter, and this is one of the most compelling letters to keep the faith, to endure, to stay true. That is in the New Testament. And this letter, I mean, even though it contains unbelievable important things to the Christian faith, it's a little bit of an anomaly because its origins aren't fully understood. So for a long time, the Apostle Paul was credited with the authorship, and that happened at different points in time. At this point, most scholars with textual and linguistic criticism would agree that's not likely. Probably the Apostle Paul did not write the book of Hebrews. Whoever did write the book of Hebrews was indeed a master communicator and clearly well-educated. and had a skilled understanding of the scriptures, but not just of the scriptures, of Judaism, of the Hebrew faith. And so there are candidates. Some would say Barnabas, some would say Apollos, but nobody's for sure. Nobody's certain. What is certain, since this is in the Bible, is that whoever authored this letter had the authority to write this letter, and that this letter was saved and passed around and regarded with the utmost respect. Paul's son in the faith, and we read Paul's personal letters to him, Timothy, is mentioned in the letter. So Hebrews is probably contemporary with Paul's writings, and maybe a little bit later. It's pretty clear from the letter that the persecution of those who believed, it wasn't just marginalization at this point, it had become persecution within the Hebrew community. And even though it wasn't, you know, quite to the level of mass martyrdom, the Jewish believers and those who were sympathetic to the Christian faith and to the message of Jesus, they had begun to suffer ridicule, and they were being stereotyped. And that happens to people groups. Even today, they were stereotyped, and they were considered irrelevant. They were considered weird. And like I said, it's easy enough to see this kind of dynamic even today in our modern culture. Even toward Christians, in some places, Christians are portrayed in the media often as irrelevant, sometimes backwards, sometimes a little weird. And so these kinds of cultural pressures were causing a lot of the Hebrew believers in Jesus to simply go, wow, we're kind of hanging out here. And so they would just withdraw, not necessarily losing their faith, but withdraw into the woodwork, hide in Judaism, hide their faith. Others were just saying, it's not worth it. I don't believe this anymore. And turning their backs and walking away and going back into traditional Judaism. And so the writer of Hebrews is aware of this, is observing this, knows this, and the letter exists to boldly step forward to encourage them to not do that, to not disappear, to not withdraw, to endure, to stay faithful to Jesus, to not go back to their former selves. And Hebrews encourages us to hold fast, to hold dear to the hope that Jesus brings us, and not waver at all, not withdraw at all. And that's a very important message for believers, for us even today. And it's offered really quite brilliantly through the lens of the Old Testament and through the Hebrew Jewish heritage. And I guess one of the things that we got to remember as we go into this, because it's very compelling. I mean, we're reading Hebrew scriptures. So much of the Bible is Hebrew centric, it's through this lens of God's chosen people. And so this letter, Hebrews, is written in a Hebrew context to Hebrews. And it helps us understand the connection between the Hebrew worship and Jesus. And so we begin. Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. Like a cloak, you will roll them up, and like clothing, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels spirits in the divine service, sent to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Psalm 102. Prayer to the Eternal King for help, a prayer of one afflicted, when faint and pleading before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is stricken and withered like grass. I am too wasted to eat my bread because of my loud groaning. My bones cling to my skin. I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like a little owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I'm like a lonely bird on a housetop. All day long my enemies taunt me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. Indeed, I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink. Because of your indignation and anger, for you have lifted me up and thrown me aside. My days are like a lengthening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. Your name endures to all generations. You will rise up and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to favor it. The appointed time has come, for your servants hold its stones dear and have pity on its dust. The nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory, for the Lord will build up Zion. He will appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and will not despise their prayer. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet unborn may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height. From heaven, the Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, so that the name of the Lord may be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When peoples gather together and kingdoms to serve the Lord. He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. Oh my God, I say, do not take me away at the midpoint of my life, you whose years endure throughout all generations. Long ago you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you endure. They will all wear out like a garment. You change them like clothing and they pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall live secure. Their offspring shall be established in your presence. Proverbs 26, 21 and 22. As charcoal is to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for another day. We are grateful. Thank you for the letter to the Hebrews that we are going into, and we just invite your Holy Spirit to lead us where we need to go. Help us see what we need to see. Not just for understanding, but for how it actually works and applies in our lives. And once again, how can we ignore the Proverbs? How can we ignore what you're saying about what we say with our mouths? The words of a whisperer, a gossip, the words of a slanderous gossip, those are passed around like delicacies, like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. I guess the question is, do we want that in the inner parts of our body? Because if we're consuming gossip, that's what's happening on the inside of us. That is a brutally pure picture that we should all pay attention to. Because it's so easy once it's in us that we pass it along to others, and it's so deeply harmful. And so, Holy Spirit, may we put what is pure in the inner parts of us and not peddle in slander and gossip that makes us bitter and allows us to pick up offenses that are not ours. Holy Spirit, come in the name of Jesus. We ask. Amen. Welcome back to another edition or episode or installment of whatever this is with Brian and Jill.
Whatever this thing is.
That we do usually fairly well, halfway to deliriously tired every day.
It just kind of named itself, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And, you know, it's a little bit of, like, processing. Like, I think it actually helps us kind of integrate a little bit of what we are doing each day as we just kind of review it. And so, therapy with Brian and Jill? Processing the day.
Decompressing.
Oh, that's nice. Another decompression with Brian and Jill. Hi, everybody. It is really nice to be here with you for the first time from a brand new place that we've never been before. The island of Malta.
Of Malta.
It Took a good part of the day to get here. That's pretty much what we can tell you.
It was very sad leaving Greece. I love Greece.
Really was. So this morning we were on the island of Crete. That was an enchanting surprise. Just the whole experience. Just no way to expect what you have never experienced. And so it was, I don't know, there were just moments, and we've already talked about them, but just moments like at Fairhaven's, looking at that harbor, standing on top of that hill, going into that cave, nobody there. Like, it's the road less traveled.
For sure.
To really stand in some of these places and take the effort and make the work of it. And it was just humbling to be on Crete and just really contextualize Titus and the letter to Titus and Paul and Titus and how that changed that island. So I got up this morning.
Tell everyone what you saw this morning.
Yeah. And you saw it too. I got up this morning and went for a walk and just had a little trouble sleeping and was just walking. And really, it's an island, so we were really close to the shore. And man, the ocean is blue over here. The ocean is blue over here. And clear sky, not a cloud. It's before all the shops opened. Everybody was just preparing to open up their shops. And I didn't, know exactly what was going on. But by the time I was heading back to the hotel, I did, because a couple of giant cruise ships had docked. And so people were, by the thousands flooding into Heraklion, into this city. But I was like just ahead of that. And we had learned, in Gortina or yesterday of, Paul and Titus, and Titus becoming the bishop and just really integrating that. But we found like the holy relics of Titus were in Heraklion, in the church of Titus. And when I say holy relics, like this is going way back, way back to like Saint Helena, Constantine's mother, kind of started this whole process of having relics and sending these different relics throughout the entire empire as, would make these cathedrals and churches places of pilgrimage because they'd want to come and observe these relics, and it would cause them to be prayerful and really contemplate. And when I say a relic, usually, I mean, that can, like that could be a piece of, like, Helena sent what she found what she thought was the true cross of Jesus and sent different fragments of the cross throughout the empire. But it can also be, like the bones of a saint or an apostle. So remember, we were in Istanbul and we saw like the arm bones in this kind of gold casing of what was supposed to be John the Baptist.
JTB's arm.
Yeah. Crazy weird, but definitely bones. So anyway, so we were told the relics of Titus and how these were authenticated and what the provenance is and how long the tradition holds and how long they've been on the island of Crete and where they came from, all of this stuff. Anyway, they're in this church, the Church of St. Titus, and it's his skull.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's the skull of Titus, like the Titus of the Bible, companion and son in the faith of the Apostle Paul. And in this kind of gold case under glass, but like there's a, you know, you can look down from the top and see, you know, the skull bones.
Mm-hmm.
And eerie and weird and, I don't know, morbid is not the right word. Just unusual.
Yeah, different.
But at the same time, kind of a touch point, like, wow. Wow, like this is so connecting to this story of Titus. So I went to that church this morning and I walked all around. I couldn't find where the relics were. I found them at the very end because like there was a group in there from one of the cruise ships. And there was a guide guiding them, and that's how I ended up finding it. So I waited for them to finish and then kind of got in there and looked, and I was like, wow, this is just an unusual experience.
Yeah.
But also felt really connected to Titus and the story. And so, yeah.
And the church is beautiful too.
Very, very beautiful. And oddly enough, like this morning, there wasn't a mass or anything, but I was in there before the day kind of, like just as they were opening, and all kinds of people, mostly women, but they were coming in there, crossing themselves three times, kissing the relics,
mm-hmm.
and then leaving.
Mm-hmm.
There was one lady I watched kind of move all the way around the sanctuary, because there's relics everywhere, and so she, you know, but most of the people were coming in to just cross themselves and kiss the relic of the Virgin. Not relic, but the icons.
The icons. And we have learned why all of these traditions carry on.
Yep.
And they're beautiful.
Yeah. Ancient and beautiful. Born out of controversy. Like, you can't have statues, but you can't have icons.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid idolatry, etc., etc. And so, at least in the Greek Orthodox tradition, and so the icons, you know, they're not something to be prayed to, but they focus you spiritually. And I just observed that actually happening in the wild, like not being told about it, but being in a church really early in the morning and watching like the ladies on their way to work and stuff just stop in.
Mm-hmm.
Cross them, like most of them were going to the icon of the Virgin Mary holding baby Jesus, and so, and they just go cross themselves three times and kiss the icon and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool to see an ancient tradition. Like I sat there thinking, how many billions of people and how many trillions of kisses are we talking about here?
A whole lot.
You know, and how much devotion of brothers and sisters who have carried traditions forward thousands of years. So
yeah,
cool.
I mean, I think you just said a mouthful. Like some women stopped in there on their way to work.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like Starbucks, or let me go to the, you know.
Yeah.
In our world, it's like Starbucks is that ritual, right?
Or maybe both, because people really do walk a lot. In where are we? in Europe and in, I guess, Mediterranean. Like, it's 20 minutes down the road in the car. It's 5 minutes by foot. 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
People are just, they're moving.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, like, in our culture that we're used to, maybe the ritual is more like going through the drive-through in the morning instead
100%.
Of like walking and focusing yourself spiritually before your day begins.
100%.
In this sort of way, and it's just different and
mm-hmm.
humbling and beautiful and interesting and, you know, unusual.
Yeah.
But also, you know, just feel connected. So that was going on, and then And we all went for a little walk, and I took you there, and you got to see that. What was your impression of
experience? You told the story and painted the picture of, you know, just looking down at the skull in this case, but it was actually encrusted in a jewel casing. Mm. So it was kind of hard for me to see because I'm only 2 foot tall.
Yeah. Well, I took it's part of the video post today. If you are all like, well, I've got to see this skull, you can see what we're talking about.
But it was a little bit like, where in the United States would we see something like this?
We did. You did ask that. And that's, well, like, we don't have those kind of ancient relics that I know of.
Well, we're not that old of a country either, so.
That's true, but it's not like we haven't had skeletons on display and for various reasons, or that we don't still in some of our, you know, national history. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess we're just, we're weird. In our own ways, to try to connect, to try to find ways to connect spiritually. So
that was all the way back to this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and so then, I mean, we had to leave eventually. And so we did. We got picked up by a driver to take us to the airport. And
we witnessed a first.
We experienced first. And I said this, like, we have traveled around the world for decades. Like, we have been a lot of places. And riding in this van on the way to the airport, we got to experience our first car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, it was not, I mean, I've got a headache and bruised my shins, but I think in general everything worked out. And I thought there was going to be much more damage to the guy's van.
Yeah, I thought so too. And we are totally fine.
Yeah.
Other than, like you said, just a little bit of necky headache type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little freaky sitting in a van, crunching a car, and then seeing smoke.
Yeah.
Enter into the vehicle.
Everywhere. It's like, what? We're in the middle of this intersection. It's busy. Kind of like, what do you do in that situation?
Thankfully, the intersection right where we crashed, there was a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally on the corner as you turn. And so well, I was just a little worried because we couldn't make that left turn fast enough. And the smoke's kind of creeping in. And we later found out the type of vehicle, the Mercedes.
Mm-hmm, that he had.
This is a safety. Instead of an airbag, if there's smoke, you got to get out.
Something like that. I didn't fully understand him, but we did get out. Because there was smoke kind of, and it was also kind of pungent. And anyway,
I felt really bad for the driver.
Yeah,
it wasn't his fault. So
somebody just slammed their brakes on in front of him before, you know, we're all moving through this intersection making a left, and somebody just decided to slam their brakes on in the middle of this street and
crunch.
It just happened so fast. But I was grateful mm-hmm. that we were okay.
Okay, we got to the airport in time.
Some other vehicle came and got us and collected our stuff and got us to the airport, and off we went.
off we went and, to the island of Malta.
Well, so we had to go back to Athens again. So it was like five times in the last several days we've been in the Athens airport going somewhere. And, switched planes and kind of flew into another whole thing altogether. We have not seen Malta in any way in the daylight at this point. But it felt different right away. It was like, this is a different experience. The plugs are different. They drive on a different side of the road. Very different. And
different side of the car, different side of the road.
And just, everything so far, it's like, wow, I've seen some Roman ruins all the way to like colonial looking British Empire type buildings. And it's not like we have anything much to share other than we got to where we're staying and then went for a walk and got some dinner and found out that rabbit is a very important staple on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
It's the little things.
I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Not gonna do it.
Yeah. But, I mean, we walked down the street, looked at several menus, and rabbit seems to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I knew that coming. I Googled what the cuisine. What is Malta known for? Their cuisine. I just wanted to know if it was going to be like straight kebab. Because I successfully obtained a Greek salad every day that we were in Greece.
So good.
So good and fresh.
Yeah.
So good for us.
Those big chunks of fresh tomatoes.
The feta cheese. The olives. All of it.
All the olive oil.
Yeah, so rabbit.
And you became quite a connoisseur. Education on... I mean, olive oil has been a thing you've cooked with and used. But I think your whole knowledge went up a notch.
It did. And so did
even last night, but like throughout this entire journey.
Yeah. And so did our olive oil collection, because I had to get some that's true to every region to take home and taste and cook with.
Yeah.
But some is for cooking and some is for salad. Some is a little bit bitter. Some has a little bit of pepper. Some is acidic.
Some is buttery.
Some is buttery. Some is extra virgin. Some is extra virgin. Anyways, there's a whole olive oil situation happening.
Like a whole world that I didn't even know.
There's a half a world in my suitcase right now, so.
It's true. Malta is where we are. We were in Fair Havens. Understanding the story of the Apostle Paul and him really sensing disaster would happen to the ship if they continued. And Paul's on his way to Rome to stand before the emperor and be judged. And the centurion and the boat owners, you know, kind of overrode anything that this prisoner Paul had to say. And they left. They left the Fair Havens Harbor because they didn't feel like they could winter there. And it just didn't work out. They got in this really, really horrible storm. And now think about it. Like, look at how long it took us on a plane.
Which time we've been
to
on.
To get from Crete to here in Malta.
Mm-hmm.
That was on a boat in a storm.
Yeah. I can't imagine the...
And it took a couple of weeks, according to the Book of Acts.
Yeah, and we're not talking like a cruise ship like we're seeing out in the...
Right. So, and man, Malta is... It's like directly south of Italy and Sicily, and But it's out in the middle of the ocean, and like they hit that island, and there was nowhere else to go. Like, they would have not made, they would have perished, and how they survived anyway, in the open sea like that, in a storm like that. So we're here to explore that. Because that, you know, Crete was changed when the gospel came there, but Malta was changed when the gospel came here. And so...
Well, and interestingly enough, we'll have to report back on this if there is anything. You saw a big JTB church right down the road, too.
I did not realize, like, yeah, some John the Baptist. Like, knights of John the Baptist. So, medieval times. Kind of an order of soldier, like, to protect Christians and Christian places and build schools and hospitals and just like I mean they got booted off of the island of Rhodes, which we were passing through just a couple of days ago, and were given Malta, as I understand it, and so did a lot of development. And we passed by some really massive, like I saw Roman columns, and I also saw massive castle type
things.
It's just, we haven't seen a single moment in the daylight yet and are just kind of gathering these things. But I'm sure next time we have a installment or a debrief or episode or whatever this is, we'll be able to tell about it. I think that's all I got. Like, I think we're pretty tired. And I think that's about...
Pretty tired.
About what we got to say.
Yep.
You got any closing thoughts?
I'm sorry for being cranky earlier.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Mimi got a little cranky tonight.
Well, thank you.
We've been traveling. I went too long without eating food.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the things that I say when I'm hungry.
Yeah. Well, and we did have a car accident and stuff, so.
And our fifth flight and obtaining another bag somehow.
Yeah. It's been intense. A lot of, like, there's just been nowhere to kind of spoke out of and say, this is home base. We've just moved from place to place to place because they're far apart. And it's been hard, but also has really given a lot of perspective for the kind of traveling that it took to bring the gospel around the Roman Empire. So, we will tell you all about Malta when we learn more about and experience more about the story of Paul coming to be shipwrecked here.
Yeah.
And how that appears in the Book of Acts and how that actually changed the history of the people here. But
for
until
now,
then, until then.
For now, we're going to go get some rest.
We're going to go night-night. And so, we love you all. Thank you for continuing to pray for us and take the journey along with us. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
And we love you, and we will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
It's Susan from Canada, God's Yellow Flower. We ask you, Lord God, to bring healing to Dr. Steve. We ask you, Lord God, from the depths of our heart, to touch him with your righteous right hand and make him whole, whole spiritually, physically, and in his relationships on earth as well, Lord God. May he draw nearer and nearer to you daily as he seeks your wonderful face. I pray for wisdom over him and his family and courage to face each day, knowing that you are in control of everything and you love him beyond reason. Lord God, we just thank you for your precious and holy gift of health, but we bow down to your will upon us because you know the beginning from the end. You know exactly what is necessary in our life and in the life of others and the ones we love. So do your will as we bow down before your throne. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is Kim from Tulsa, and I'm calling today for a grandmother that called back in the summer about her grandchild drowning in the pool. And you came to mind this morning as Brian began reading Lamentations. And I have thought about you and your family over the past few months. I believe you and your husband were in the pool along with the father of the child, and the swimmies came off of the child, and such a tragic thing that happened. So today, as I lament with you again, I just pray for God's peace and comfort to be given you and your family, that you have unity of being together and trusting in God as the days and years go by. I know this is not an easy thing to ever get over. And so I pray for you often, and I will continue. As a grandmother with a pool in my backyard, it definitely heightened my awareness of being watchful over my grandchildren. So I pray for you, dear grandmother, and pray that God bring you his special comfort today.
Hey, Dave, if you have family, Susie from Colorado. I literally, you pray, so you know when miracles happen. And we have had a miracle. We have all 42 souls from the orphanage in Haiti have been removed, as well as 35 of our dogs and our goats. Golly, I mean, you have no idea. You have no idea what it was for these people to get out of the situation. There were machetes and there were guns, and our security literally fled. They didn't stay with the kids. They left. I don't blame them. They have families, and they left the kids without any protection. And God literally, like, seriously, spread the ocean to let these kids go through, because there's no other explanation. We did lose, not us, we lost a lot of friends and people from the village that we knew were killed. But my kids got through, and they are now safe in a place, an enclave in Port-au-Prince. And I can't tell you how much it means that you pray. I don't know how to tell you how much it means that all you prayed, I heard your prayers. And I'm letting the kids listen to your prayers, and I'm letting the staff listen to your prayers. And God.
This is Hands to Heaven. Are you ready for another stone for your pouch? This one is based on Colossians 3:12. Since God chose you to be the holy people whom he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Here's your declaration. I am chosen by God, holy and dearly loved. Part of the verse talks about what we should be clothed in as representatives of God. I wear a uniform at work so that people can look at what I'm wearing and know that I am a source of information. If someone looks at what you're wearing, will they see tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience? Will they know that you're a source of information about your Lord? This is Hands to Heaven. God bless you all.